take our Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, chapter number 2. I think there's a psalm that says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And I think in heaven I'm going to sing like Buddy Blancall. I've always loved his singing and his preaching too, man, just great preaching. Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. We're going to have a message this morning and then a card collection. Most of you that know what that is may want to participate if you haven't yet. If not, just pass the plates. There's no forcing anybody. There's no place to put your name. This is just for our church. But maybe you still want to get in on helping missions in weekly giving, biweekly, monthly, whatever you can do. If you could write that down, that'd be great. And then we're going to have a baptism this morning, and then tonight we'll be going up to the Old Time Baptist Church for a joint service with Dr. Larry Brown preaching. Now, if you haven't heard him, just bring your seatbelts with you, and he really gets with it. He's 73 years old. Last week, he just rode his bike 100 miles. He's in tremendous shape, and he's just that kind of guy, just a guy that hits the ground running every day and has a lot of energy, but he always has a good message, nice and deep, and it'll bless your heart. Hilltop Baptist is going up. We're going up old time. We'll have a joint service. And it's just kind of fun to have some fellowship, you know, that with brothers and sisters in the Lord of like faith once in a while. It'll be an encouragement to that church, be encouragement to you. Now, at 6:30, as was said in the announcements, you were used to meeting together at 6. But if you get up there at 6, spend a half an hour in prayer or something. There's nothing wrong with getting to church early, is there? But let's have a good time in the Lord tonight. I think we will. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, and the Bible says this: "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." We have two holidays in November. One is Veterans Day. Next Sunday we'll honor all the veterans and have a message that deals with all of us. Everybody who's saved is called to be a soldier of Jesus Christ, men and women. And so we'll probably hit that theme. Then later on in the month, of course, Thanksgiving, verse 7 ends saying, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Well, I don't know if that always describes us or not. Abounding therein with thanksgiving, but that's how we should be. But we'll get to that later in the month. Today I want to look at the word walk. And the title of the message this morning is a question: what does walk mean? What does walk mean? Verse 6 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." To walk means to make progress. If you'll take the word progress, and every time you come across it in the New Testament, And just kind of in your mind, remind yourself that the word walk means to make progress. Walking means you're going in motion. Walking is normal and natural for most human beings. Some are handicapped, we understand, but it's normal to walk. Nobody looks at somebody who's walking and says, "Boy, that's strange. What is that guy doing? You know, him or her." Nobody ever says that. It's normal. It should be normal for every believer who has received Christ Jesus the Lord, verse 6, to walk in him, to be in motion, to be making progress, to keep in step with. That's what the word walk means. To keep in step with. It is quite a word study when you take the word walk and go through the New Testament. I have 14 points this morning. I'm not going to do them all. We'll be here a very long time. But maybe we'll get through half of them. We'll see. But this idea of walking, this idea of progressing, 2 Corinthians 8:10 says that we should be forward a year ago. We should be forward a year ago. We should be forward, spiritually speaking. We should be farther ahead a year from now than we are today because we are walking. In the text of verse 6, the word walk means progress, to keep in step with, to be in motion with. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So progress in Christ. You can go as far as you want to in Jesus Christ. In this verse, it assumes the fact that some who have received Christ Jesus the Lord have stopped there. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen somebody accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and then they just stop there? They just say, that's wonderful, I'm saved, the Lord has saved me from my sins. I received Christ by faith, and that's the way you receive him, is by faith. He saved my soul, I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to hell. I have eternal life, I have salvation, and all those promises. I've received Christ, but then they just stop. They never progress any farther with Christ than beyond salvation. The problem is Christ is walking. Christ is walking. Now, what happens if one person stops and someone else keeps walking? What happens? They get farther and farther apart. And there are some who say, you know, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I was so close to him. It was so real. I literally felt something. And I'm not a feelings kind of preacher, but I remember the day. It was 50 years ago, November 1969, when I met the Lord Jesus Christ in a tiny little country church. And he saved me, and he seemed so real, and I was saved by faith. But boy, I had some feelings that day. I had some feelings that day. That affected me emotionally, my spirit, my soul. I felt a weight of sin lifted off of my shoulders. And I mean, I would almost say literally. I felt so free. I felt so clean on the inside for the very first time ever in my life. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. I felt forgiven. Because I was. I felt something. Now, you don't have to feel something to be saved. That's for sure. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But boy, I just felt like, wow, me and Jesus Christ were like the only ones. He's mine. He don't belong to you or you. He's mine. It was so personal. But you see, after that salvation experience, he's walking. He says, follow me. Many times he said, follow me. I will make you to become fishers of men. He's progressing. He says, we're not going to stop here. We're not going to stay here. We're going to progress. You and I, we're going to walk a long ways together. And the thing is, though, if one person walks and one stands still, they get farther and farther apart. And this has been the experience of some believers in Christ, and it's I've heard of some so far apart from Christ, they're like, I don't even know what happened. I don't even know if I'm saved. They begin to doubt things and question things. They lack assurance because they haven't walked with him. They haven't walked with him. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And you can go as far as you want to in your knowledge of the Lord. Jesus, and in your walk. Notice verse 7, rooted and built up in him. That's two directions. Rooted is downward. Built up is upward. You can get as deep into Christ as you want to. And you can go as high with Christ as you want to. rooted and built up in him. And as a result, you'll be established in the faith and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Are you walking with Christ? Are you rooted? It never ends. There's no place where somebody finally says, hey, I've arrived. We can stop. No, the Lord says there's more to see. There's more to show you. Let's keep walking. And it is possible for anybody in this room, it's up to you, it's your free will, but you can get as rooted in Christ as you want to and as built up in Christ as you want to. Don't stop after salvation. So number one is walk in Christ. Walk in Christ. Keep in step with Christ. Progress with Christ. Stay in motion with Christ. Now turn to the book of Romans chapter number 6 and verse 4. And I want to say number two, walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life. If you have ever been born again, God has given you a new life. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, the scripture says, if therefore any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? And so we have newness of life. Sometimes we quote this word during the ordinance of this verse during the ordinance of baptism. Romans 6:4 says this, therefore as we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The Lord wants to make everything new. You know, there's a lot of people that would love to have a new life. The old life stinks for some of them. But Christ can offer you a new life. It starts at the day of salvation, but then we need to walk. It says verse 4 here, walk in newness of life. Don't just receive it, but walk in it. Now, this is the thing Christ can do that no one else can do. Let me read it for you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 16 says it this way, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The walk in Christ can be new every day. It is possible to have a walk in the newness of life that never gets stale. A lot of things can get stale. Marriage can get stale. Your job can get stale. Sports can get stale. Boy, I tell you, I used to love football. Now it's 17 minutes of action crammed into about 3.5 hours. Do you know almost 3/4 of the game runs down between plays? There's 17 minutes of action in a football game, and they drag it out to about 3.5 hours. And man alive, it's just getting old to me. And now they're making it worse and worse with all this, whatever, replays and, you know. Oh, boy. But Christ, there's a newness about Christ. He can do something nothing or no one else can do. Every day with him can be new. Though the outward man perish, though the outward man's getting older, everything's breaking down. Our joints are breaking down, our mind's leaving us, our eyesight's leaving us, our ears, hearing is all leaving us, our taste is leaving, all of it. Though the outward man perish, it says the inward man is renewed day by day. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. The songwriter wrote that hymn one time. We sing that. It can be true. It's up to you. But you got to walk in newness of life. Can't just say, oh, I'm saved now. God's given me a new life. Well, walk in that newness of life and see what's going to be new today. Walk. Make progress. Number three, look at Romans 8 and verse 1. Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Two other times in the book of Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 16, and Galatians 5 and verse 25, it words it this way, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Here's something else. The Holy Spirit's always in motion. Some say, "Boy, I haven't heard from the Holy Spirit in a long time." Well, maybe you stopped and he kept moving. Walk in the Spirit three times. We have three verses, Romans 8, 1, Galatians 5, 16, Galatians 5, 25. Walk in the Spirit. Let me read those for you out of Galatians. Galatians 5, verse 16 says this, "Therefore I say unto you, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 25, "If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So again, there's a choice there of your own free will. If you live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Keep in step with the Holy Ghost. Now, how do you know whether you're keeping in step with the Holy Ghost? Well, it says right here, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." If the flesh is constantly bothering you, you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not keeping in, because he walks away from those things. He walks away from those things. Brother Larry Brown, he's pretty unique. I think he's a powerful preacher, but one of the things he says, like Brother Don Green, too, he's never owned a television in his life. 73 years. He says he's traveled all around the world. He's been in a hotel room so many times, he's never once put a television on while he was in the hotel room. And he just, I believe, "Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Sometimes the flesh is so strong in human beings because they keep feeding it all the time and making it stronger and stronger and feeding those lusts, and they take us over. But if you walk in the Spirit, he's going to walk away from those things into that newness of life. And you say, "Well, that doesn't sound any fun." Well, it doesn't. Let me review the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Can you find any human being that doesn't want that, those nine characteristics in their life? You can't. You can't find a human being who's honest with you if you said, "Would you like to have love in your life, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Would you like that to just saturate your life?" That's the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, he may lead you in a walk away from the flesh, but he's got a whole lot better things for you. Not some happiness based on a few happenings for a few moments, but a joy that nobody can take from you. Much deeper. A much deeper life. Walk in the Spirit. Then it says walk in faith. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Walk, progress in your faith. Progress in your faith. Keep in motion. You know your faith can grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it's a mountain moving faith. We talk sometimes, because it's an easy illustration, about George Mueller and his wife, and how when they died, they left a journal of 20,000 prayer requests that they made. And then next to them was when God answered those prayers. Well, why is it? Because in his life, George Mueller read the Bible through 200 times. And the Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And as he read through the Bible all those times, every time he read through, he was reminded of the omnipotence of God. that God is all powerful. And he took the knowledge of the Bible, the knowledge of the omnipotence of God into his life and into his prayer life. He said, God, there's nothing too hard for you. And he believed that. He believed God could move mountains. He believed God could part Red Seas. He believed he could walk on the water. He believed he could feed 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fishes. And he just reminded himself constantly of these things. And as a result, he was walking in faith. And he took these promises of God. And he began to pray about them. And then God would answer him, and that would build his faith. And then God would answer another, and that would build his faith. And his faith grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. The Encyclopedia of Christian Autobiographies lists him as the greatest man of faith in Christian history, but only God knows that. I don't know why they made that judgment, but boy, he sure was close. Why? Because he progressed in faith. He walked in faith. He didn't just let it lie dormant. He said, I want to experiment with this in my life and see how much it will do before I die. How much can I do by faith? This is one of the reasons why we call this faith promise giving. You wouldn't believe what this little paper has done for people's faith in this church. You wouldn't believe it. As they would start sometimes and say, "Boy, I don't know, I can't give anything to God. I don't have any money." And they'd start giving a dollar or something. And all of a sudden, God started blessing them. And they ended up the year with more than they ever had, and they said, well, I think I'll increase it this year. Then that year they ended up with more, and then I think I'll increase it this year, and I'll increase it this year, and they just have noticed that their faith has grown through this. This is just one tool, but it's a tool God can use. God says, you're not going to outgive me. He says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me here now with, if I will not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. That'll help your faith. We should be in motion. I would encourage you to try it without an ounce of guilt in my heart. I'm not trying to hurt anybody or manipulate anybody. I'm trying to introduce you to something in life that can bless your faith and build your faith. We had Brother Brian, somebody heard his testimony Wednesday night. That was funny. He used to be a good member here. He goes to Kennedy now. You can move down there. He was sitting in a church service recently, and they had an offering for a missionary or something. I forgot what the cause was. But so he looks in his wallet. He's got a $20 bill and a $100 bill. It's time for an offering. Says, oh, I'm going to give the 20. You know, that's what he thought humanly. I'm going to give the 20. But the Holy Spirit was saying something different. See, you got to walk with the Spirit. And he said, oh, no, I can't. He kind of fought with it a little bit. He put the $100 in. Well, he's in construction, as most of you know. He's a good guy. He's done so much around here. And he finishes a job for a lady that week, and she gives him a $250 bonus. And immediately he thought about the $100 that he gave. And God blessed him in a way he never expected. Didn't even hurt him. And we all laughed. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. And that word cheerful means hilarious. It's really funny sometimes what God will do for you. If you're not going to outgive the Lord, it's just his nature to give. For God so loved the world that he gave. He that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? So progress in faith. Progress in good works. I'll give you a couple more before we close here. Ephesians 2 verse 10 tells us why we were saved. We were saved by grace through faith. If you're here today and you're trying to earn your way to heaven, I strongly urge you to stop today. Completely stop. You can't save yourself. You can't earn your own salvation. Jesus Christ paid for it already in dying in our place as a sacrifice on the cross for our sins. There he was crucified. He shed his blood. He was buried. He rose again. Receive him. Believe on him. Trust in what he did, not in what you can do. Because it says here in verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's salvation. But what's the next verse say? We're talking about walking today. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Good works. Not to be saved, but because we have been saved. Walk in good works. Now, I don't know what this means. But one of the heroes of the book of Acts was a guy in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. Or ladies, rather, named Tabitha. It says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now, I don't know what that means, but it means something. That lady, Tabitha, had a reputation in the body of Christ, in the church, that she was full of good works and alms deeds. She was always finding poor people or whatever to help. She was making all kinds of clothes, and at her funeral, what they thought was her funeral, everybody was showing off the garments and the coats that Dorcas had made. Can you imagine making coats? That's a lot of work. I don't know how they did it back then. She made coats and other garments, clothing, in verse 39. And at her funeral, everybody was saying, she made this for me. 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 That was a lot of hard work back then. You didn't just run to Walmart and buy yarn. I don't know what they did. But she figured out something to do to be a blessing to people. She walked in good works. It says, ordained that we should walk in them. God wants us to be doing good all the time. For him, most of all, for our fellow man, for the lost. And being a soul winner, that's about the goodest thing you can do. Is tell somebody how to be saved. Tell them how to be saved. Give out some tracts. Progress in good works. Just start doing something. And God can steer a moving vehicle a lot better than one standing still, and just get started in doing something, and he'll steer you into a life of good works. Last of all, for this morning, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, this is something I don't know exactly how to explain. But it says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk in Christ. Walk in newness of life. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in faith. Walk in good works. Walk worthy. I think I gave you 6. We'll stop there, though. Worthy of the vocation. What's our vocation? To be a Christian. To be a Christian, that's our vocation. We should walk worthy. We should be a good testimony. We should die to self and not think about ourselves and what we want to do and be selfish and cry and scream for our rights, but rather we should embrace our responsibilities. We are living epistles, read and known of all men. People see us, they read us. We are the only Bible some people will ever read. They won't pick up a scripture, but they're reading us. And we want them to see Christ in us. We want them to see us as a good testimony. As this verse says, walk worthy. It says it in Colossians 1, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, walk worthy of your vocation, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Walk worthy of the Lord. Can you imagine that? That's something else. But that sure is the ideal. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 in closing says this, that you would walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of your vocation. Walk worthy of Christ. Walk worthy of God. That's a pretty high ideal. But every one of us should be careful about our testimony everywhere we go. The way we talk, the way we act, the way we dress, the way we respond. You know, we just got to walk worthy. It can't be, you know, windy, rainy days. It can't be, oh, what's going on, man? That's not the Christian thing to do. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I know exactly what God's doing. He's trimming the trees. Amen. I trimmed our apple tree last year. I think it was a lousy piece of junk. I trimmed it last year. My wife can tell you. We had more apples we've ever seen before in our lives on that tree because we trimmed out all the deadwood. God knows what he's doing. He's got to trim these trees. Trims out all the deadwood and everything, and then a year or two from now, it's going to be just gorgeous and fruitful. We got to quit complaining. We got to walk worthy of our vocation as a Christian, walk worthy of the Lord Christ, and walk worthy of God. Say, Pastor, that's not possible. I know, but we ought to at least try to walk worthy. So what does it mean to walk? It means to make progress. It means to be in motion. It means to stay in step with. Stay in step with what God is doing in your life. Keep up with him. It means to be forward. Be forward a year ago. Are you making progress? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And we're going to have an invitation here and a card collection and a baptism. So hang in there and then we'll be at the other church tonight. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, tonight. Or today, rather, this morning, for these challenges that are in your word, go beyond salvation. As we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Lord, may we walk in Christ. And Lord, just these other challenges you give us. Lord, help every one of us to personally examine ourselves this morning and to see if we're ahead. If we're still in step with Christ, is he still in our eyesight? Are we still in step with the Holy Ghost? Have we heard from him lately? Have we really, really heard from the Holy Spirit lately? Or maybe he's just walked so far down the road that we haven't heard from him. God, help us to catch up and, Lord, to somehow walk worthy. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we heard in the first verse today, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Some of you haven't done that yet. A synonym for received is accept. If you receive someone, that means you accept them. Have you accepted Christ Jesus the Lord? Have you received? Have you believed? What? That he is God? That he became man? That he died upon the cross in our place for our sins. That our sins, doesn't matter if you're a really good person here today or a really bad person, our sins have separated us from God. And the only way to back to him is to have a Savior. And there's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, shed his blood, was buried in an empty tomb, a borrowed tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, but then rose from the grave for your justification. Now, that's powerful. Nobody else has ever done that. There's something very unique about Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. And he will save you if you believe in him. Put your complete confidence and trust in Christ and receive him and say, Lord Jesus, save me. Boy, if you can't think of a time in your life, maybe you've never done that, because it's hard to meet Christ and forget it. It's almost impossible. But if you'd like to call upon the Lord, the Bible promises, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then I want to encourage you right where you're sitting to call upon him in faith, believing. Maybe you could pray a prayer something like this where you're sitting, not out loud, but to God sincerely. Like Philip the evangelist told a Ethiopian one time, if you believe with all your heart, you'll be saved, then you can follow the Lord. How about you? Will you believe with all your heart? Pray and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I ask the Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy on my soul and to save me today from all of my sins. Jesus, I believe you are Lord. I believe you died on the cross in my place and for all of my sins. I believe you shed your blood to cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. And I ask you today to be my Savior. Lord, save me. Come into my heart. Thank you for rising from the dead. I believe you're alive forevermore. I ask you to give me the gift of eternal life. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder if there's anybody who would maybe just very kindly, very quickly, just raise your hand up and take it down and say, Pastor Cole, God knows my heart. Today I meant it. I have believed and received Christ as my Savior, and I've called on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I asked him just now to be my Savior. Could you raise your hand up real quick and let me just see your hand, take it down, and I'll, God bless you, amen. Is there anyone else? Praise the Lord. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? Amen. Anybody else? Father, just bless now this holy moment as we think, Lord, about our commitment to getting this wonderful gospel that got to us once to all the world. Many have already contributed, it's obvious. But perhaps, Lord, others need to. Bless now this card collection, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.